I'm going to talk about futures. It's a programming concept. I wrote a package about this. And my goal today, I can't go into all the details in 15 minutes, but hopefully when you walk out of the door, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to try this out myself. You're going to see that it's about asynchronous programming, parallel processing, but also more to this. And I hope you will explore that world, what's more is. So, I don't know about you guys, but when I got my, when I did my first open R the first time, I tried something like this. I want to sum a bunch of numbers from 1 to 100, assign it to a variable y, and then check I got the correct number. Oh, yeah. And now, for the sake of this talk and the illustration of this problem, assume that the sum function is super slow. So this takes 2 minutes now instead to run this. So first step in parallel processing, a common one, if the problem allows, is to split the problem up in smaller parts and process them one by one. And that's we can do with dividing. Conquer, basically we say, let's sum up the first 50 values and assign that to variable A. And since it's half the size, it'll probably take 1 minute. And then we can do the other 50 and assign that to B, and that will of course also take another minute. At the end of the day, we can sum them up in the value, but we didn't gain anything in time here. So, our first future assignment. Wouldn't it be cool if we can do A and B at the same time here? So that's the parallel part. And that's what's implemented in the future package. So this is the code you load a future package. It provides you with an alternative assignment operator to the regular one, and I try to make it as similar as possible to the regular one, so it's regular one with percentages around. You can think about it as also a parallel assignment operator, but it's, and here I'm telling I want to use a strategy to do my assignments in parallel. So that's the setup. That's the syntax where it would look like now. I've just replaced the assignment operators with these future assignments. And what happens here, if you do this as a prompt, they will be instantly returning when you get to the prompt. There's no delay here. But each of these now will go off in the background and run and being evaluated for a minute. So say after like 50 seconds, we now say, okay, let's give us the sum. We still have to wait another 10 seconds for these two to finish. And then eventually we get the sum. So that's the first hello world of future assignments. So what is the future? Now I should do this. I prepared a physical future here earlier today. Mm-hmm. There we go. I'm just keeping it there. So a future is an abstraction of a value that will be available in the future. And this was a concept, as far as I know, coined in the middle of the 70s. And I would love to hear if anyone knows history further back, because I'm sure you can functional languages, and you can go back to Gauss for it. So the future is an abstraction for values, a value that will be available in the future. The value is a result of an expression that's evaluated. This future has a state, and it can be unresolved or resolved. And here we're using, if you try to get the value, it will block as long as the future is unresolved. And as soon as it's resolved, you get the value. And this is implemented in the future package. And before I forget now, it's on CRAN. Doing all the Travis and AppWire and everything tested. Code coverage is the best thing that happened. Slice spread or whatever the expression is. It's super good. Thank you so much. Use it. So the package provides a very simple unified API. So we'll get to that. It works on all platforms, including Windows. Easy to install. It's only 300 KB, including dependencies. There's documentation, I'm trying to improve it, but it's quite a bit, and it's designed so anyone can also expand and build on this. I haven't talked about how futures are resolved. I showed the parallel process idea. But if you don't specify anything, it's resolved through a strategy called eager, and that's basically how R does it itself, it's sequential. When it gets that expression over there, it would just, okay, I need to start working on this, and R will block until it's ready. There is the opposite, the lazy one, the big procrastinator, which is only do that expression if needed. And then for parallel processing, you can specify multiprocess, and that can run in fork processes or background R sessions. There's also cluster strategies. So if you have a cluster, we call it ad hoc cluster, you can specify a set of names. Computer machines, you can do MPI, and et cetera. So all this is like just on top of what's available in the parallel package. You know? So, but it's wrapped up in the future API. And here is an example of lazy evaluation. You've seen it, lazy evaluation actually in when you do functions calls, that's lots of arguments are done using lazy evaluation. So here I choose to do the previous calculations under the lazy strategy and resolve this. So what happens here, boom, boom, quickly, but nothing has happened. So if you look at your CPU load, it's been zero. Nothing has been calculated, it's only prepared. So if we now ask for B, for instance, then it will start calculating, and it will take a minute, and then we'll get the value. If we never ask for A, nothing will happen. A won't be evaluated at all. So I just want to stress it works the same on all operating systems, and regardless of how you resolve things, you will get the same value back in the end of the day. So as a developer, you should not have to worry about how things are resolved. It's up to the user to specify what kind of strategies he wants, because or she, because that's the only person who knows their compute resources. So here is just, if you install the package, you can do the mandatory Mandelbrot demo that plots a Mandelbrot, calculates the Mandelbrot sets. And this example is tiling up the image of 9 different tiles, and each tile is a future. And when you start off, the futures are unresolved. And if you don't specify how you want to resolve them, you go back to the sequential eager processing. So you will see something like this. First one done, second one done. If you specify multiprocess, you will start seeing things like this. And whoops, finished. And that's the end result will be the same. So it doesn't matter how we get it. Okay. So I think this is a big thing about the future package. It's using the code tools package and another package, globals, and trying to make improvement that. It takes care of global variables for you. So if you look at this simple example, there's a future assignment here with an expression of calculating the sum of variable x. And note that this expression might be evaluated across the world somewhere. So that R process across the world needs to know about the slow sum function. So now, if that is a function that only exists locally, it will be exported. If it's part of a package, it will make sure the package is available on that end. So the other global variable that needs to be object that needs to be transmitted is, of course, the data object x, and that will be another. And that's all taken care of, the identification of it, and it works also with non-standard evaluation, because it's using an optimistic approach, basically. Okay, and I also want to mention concept. Of course, you can have nested futures. One future can create another future. And so here are the two outer, A and B. They, in turn, split up and divide and conquer internally. And how the values are resolved, we don't care, but you can, as a user, specify how you want to resolve each level of future. So the first level should be here, in this case, God in the cluster. So A and B would be on a cluster, and then each of those will do parallel processing. But this is all up to the user to specify. Okay, so what about this? High performance compute clusters. So that's actually the reason why it exists, because I work at the UCSF Cancer Center, and we crunch in large data sets. So this is a smaller project, but still big. We have raw data, raw sequence data. So these are 40 FASTQ files that sits on the server. And they each 200 gig each. So fairly big. And the task, the first task when we get sequence data, we want to align it to reference genome. In our case, we do the human genome. And that's I'm illustrating here. We run it through an LFI on all our 40 files, and we do that function call, and that's the process. The problem here, each of these takes 6 hours at least to run. So this is a good 10 days before we get the results. So in R, there's a nice package called Batch Jobs that provides an API for being able to use compute clusters. And compute cluster has something called job schedulers. So basically, a compute cluster has lots of users, and they have a queue, and you submit your scripts there, bash script, and they will one by one be sent out to compute nodes and process. So the batch jobs package looks like this. This is on CRAN. You basically set up a registry as a local file database. You map your what you want to do. Nothing still happens, but then you submit your jobs and they will end up on the queue and processed. And if you have a big enough cluster, all this will happen. All the files will process at the same time. So instead of 10 hours, we might get down to 6 hours, the time for one to finish. So what I did, instead of having code that knows about the cluster, and you write this, and you want to toy around it with a non-cluster, you have to write another code. Although batch job has a little bit of that, you can do that. I wrote a wrapper around this, which implements the future API, so the future.batchjobs package. And basically, all you need to do is load that package and say, now I want to use this strategy instead. All my future should be evaluated using the batch job, in this case, the Slurm job scheduler, because there are a set of different schedulers, common ones, SunGrid engine, Torque. I'm using Torque. So this is also right now in CRAN. And this is a simple example what it would look like. This is a low-level future. You would iterate on a for loop and you just set up your assignments, and this you use a future assignment here. So these would parallelize in the cluster. I'm using something called list environment, which are environment that behaves like lists. I won't explain why, but you can read in the vignette why that is. So that's the code. And it doesn't matter if you run it on your local machine or in the cluster, it will look the same. And so, okay, there are other parallel alternatives in R, and a very common one, I won't have time to mention bioconductors, bioc parallel. I'm going to show something here with a for each package, which lots of you use and lots of packages rely on. It basically has this syntax. You do for each, iterate over a sequence here. You need to export stuff, because as if you put this inside a function, it's going to miss the otherwise. And then you loop over this. And they have different backends. You can do multi-core, MPI, and stuff like that. With do parallel package, for instance. So I wrote the do future package. It's only 48 lines of code, so that was easy to do 100% code that. And it's so small because most of the thing is done in the future package. But it allows you to say, I want for each now to use futures, and then I can use the future settings, say, do it in parallel. Okay, and why this? Because for each already does this. Because, what I just mentioned before, compute clusters. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you can run using for each on a compute cluster today. But now you can. You just load the door for each and tell for each that you want to use this futures. And then I use the future.batchjobs package and say, hey, I want to use my Slurm scheduler. And anything before each loops now will be processed there. So, and here's an example of a package plier. So now you can use plier to do your llply on your files line. Tell plier, I want to do parallel. And when you do that, plier say, for each, please do this for me. For each will tell future, please do this for me. And it's all happening. So, and I just want to finish up with this thing. I've talked about parallel processing and distributed processing here. You can do other things with futures too, but here is a case where you can use a strategy. You want to remotely evaluate the things. I can remotely do my work computer or my head node in the cluster. You need to set up the firewall and port forwarding, but then that's it. And then I can do this. I can do on my remote machine using the future, run some plot commands, and I use this function of the R device package to capture plots. And it will capture all the R's low-level plot calls into an object. And that's now available and stable in the latest version of R, thanks to lots of people. And the cool thing, that's the value of the future. I get the value on my local machine. So when I look at the value printed, it plots. And this is now like X11 stuff going on here. This is like in generated plot here, so it's like super fast. And you can do this with proof this. So you can proof test code remotely and run it here. Display the results here. Maybe cover two. Okay, thank you very much. I hope you will try this out.
One question? Is there any? Yeah?
After the future is computed, is it cached? Does it mean to do it again later?
It's cached locally, yeah. And the next level of improvement there, you can imagine minimization. So if you already did exactly the same call, it will even be more clever.